This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, all over the fruited plain, please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 15, where we left off last time. Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 15. Now, just before we begin, I want to invite the entire world to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on August 3rd at 6:30 p.m. for an amazing, inspirational, supernatural video by our own Scott Merson, our man of God and demon slayer. Scott takes pictures at the direction of Holy Spirit, and supernaturally, the Holy Spirit reveals what is in the celestial realm, the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm, right here in the terrestrial, physical realm. Scott verifies every picture with the Word of God. It is anointed. Soon and very soon, the Antichrist and his fallen angels will appear, and they are going to do fake miracles and signs and wonders. We now move into a sign of time of sign, miracles, and we need to have discernment of spirits, and this will help you. Scott Merson and his amazing video, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, August 3rd, 6:30 p.m. Come, those of you who joined us on Day of Repentance all over America, take a plane and come on down. You will be blessed. And now the Gospel of John, where we left off last time, verse 15. Let me give you a little recap. John's name means Yahweh's gift, Yahweh, the sacred name of the Lord. And we know that this was written, of course, by Holy Spirit through the apostle, disciple that Jesus loved. God used John to write the three epistles of John and the great book of Revelation, which we just completed teaching. Now, we learned last week that Jesus revealed himself through the Gospels in four different views. In Matthew, Jesus shows himself as King of Israel. In Mark, Jesus is the servant ruler, washes our dirty feet, our dirty sins. In Luke, Jesus is the ideal man. He is tempted just like you and I are, and yet without sin. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus is God. And we learned, and I hope you memorized that first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then we realized that the Word was the Lord Jesus Christ. Before ever there was a flesh body, there was a sound. It was a Word, and it was Jesus, the Son, with God the Father, and the Holy Spirit was there. Then we taught on down through verse 14, and we learned that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written me. I will form myself a body. And he plopped himself down into a Virgin Mary's body. And there we have Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we also learned that God had sent a man, a servant of God, John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord. So we're going to learn a little bit about John the Baptist tonight. Now John the Baptist is not the John who is writing this.
15, John bare witness of him, and cried, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.
What John means there is that in the flesh, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. That's verified in the Gospel of Luke. Remember when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, Mary ran to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, and John leaped in the womb at the presence of God. But what John is saying, although I came in the flesh 6 months before Jesus, He was before me because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and that was Jesus.
16, and of his fullness have all been received, and grace for grace.
Grace for grace, in the manuscripts, unmerited favor upon to unmerited favor. In other words, you are saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. This means that if you love the Lord Jesus, if you're saved, and you're truly trying to live for him, and you fall, he'll pick you up and make you feel 10 feet tall. And you fall again, he'll pick you back up and make you feel 10 feet tall. Over and over and over again, he will forgive you. Jesus says he'll forgive you 490 times per day. Can't sin too many more than that, can you? Unmerited favor, grace.
17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now, the law, I have taught that, those of you with me, in Deuteronomy and Exodus and Leviticus, all of those books, they're impossible for human being to teach, to keep. As you teach them, you say, how in the world can I keep all of these laws? You have health laws, you have food laws, you have bathing laws, you have marriage laws, you have social laws, you have religious laws. And Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. And the worst part that you would have to do is before Jesus, the Lamb of God, paid the sin debt, every time they sinned, they had to get an animal and get that blood to God to cover their sins. My Lord, what a bloody mess every time you sin an animal. But Jesus, once and for all, the Lamb of God, took away the sins of the world. For all time, for everyone, every sin, if, of course, you would accept that.
18, no man has seen God at any time.
Now, this means man in the human flesh. Why is that? Because it's a different dimension. In Revelation chapter 1, it's a great description of Jesus in his spiritual body, and it says, his countenance is as the sun shineth in his strength. Now, when you look at the sun, you can't see. You become blind, right? So in the physical, you cannot see him. However, we came from God. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Ere your silver cord breaks, ere you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Then you were in a spiritual body and you saw him. And when you die now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, so you see him. When Jesus comes and we do the body change, 1 Corinthians 15:52, we shall see him. Now we'll say this. God will sometimes take one of his servants, one of his chosen, out of the body into that spiritual dimension, and you will see that light.
The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, who has declared him.
All right, so Jesus is in the bosom of the Father. What does that mean? Jesus was sent from the heart of God. God sent his heart, and we call him Jesus. Big, bold, red heart of love. God's heart is Jesus. And Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have never seen the heart of Jesus, I do not mean physically, if you have never felt that pounding love, you may not know Jesus. Yes, he's wonderful. Yes, he's magical. Yes, he's God. But yes, he's love. Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, sent from the heart of God. We see God's heart. And your purpose, my purpose, is to show everybody we meet that great big heart of love. If you can't love, you might not be saved. Love is the heart of God.
19, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou?
All right. Now, John the Baptist had been baptizing thousands of people, drawing crowds away from the church. They call it the synagogue, the temple. And they were following him. And now, those were phony church leaders. We're going to talk about that word in a few minutes. They didn't care about those people finding God. John was telling them there's a Savior on the earth. He's going to save us from our sins. They were checking out John the Baptist because when the people left the synagogue, the money left the synagogue, and they were in it for the money. Now let's talk about the word J-E-W. Everybody all over the world listening to me and in this room, we've got to get this. It's so wrong in the body of Christ. This is an English translation. There is actually no such word as Jew. Now just hold your hat. I'm going to tell you, okay? In the Greek, it says Iudas. It means either our beloved brother Judah, who is one of the 12 tribes. He's my brother. I'm one of the 12 tribes. So he's one of them. We're Hebrew. Or it's a resident of Jerusalem. In this case, it wasn't the real thing. When Ezra and Nehemiah went back to build the wall, he did a census and found there were no real children there that were the Nethinims or the Kenites. Now, Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9 says the only two type churches that please Jesus here at the end will tell you who those are who say they are Jews but are not the synagogue of Satan. And we tell you who they are. They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, and they are the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil. When the devil beguiled Eve, wholly seduced her, exopatio, in the garden there. So you've heard it there. So Jesus says the scribes and Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. So these were the phony priesthood, taking out John the Baptist. Why are you taking our money people away from the church?
Verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ.
So John the Baptist said, I'm not the Messiah. Now, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Did you know that? It means the anointed one. Now, in the Old Testament, when they prophesied of the Savior, he was called Messiah. Messiah means the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one, the only begotten of the Father. So John the Baptist says, I am not the Messiah.
Verse 21, and they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias?
Elias is Greek Elijah. Now, why did they ask John the Baptist, was he Elijah? Because at least the church folks had to read the Torah, the Bible, and they knew Malachi chapter 4, I just completed teaching you that book, which says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you the prophet Elijah, who would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, what you want to know is that the anointing and spirit of Elijah always tells you there are two fathers. We tell it here. On Elijah ministry, we are that. We tell you there are two fathers. There is God, our Father, and then there is Satan, who is low down like a serpent, who beguiled Eve in the garden and bore Cain. So now you've heard it there. So now, all right, he says in Luke 1, it tells us that John the Baptist came in the spirit and anointing of Elijah. And I have proof of that. Do you know what John the Baptist's first sermon was? Repent, ye generation of vipers. A viper is a serpent, and generation means children. So see, he had it. Now, soon and very soon, you're going to become aware of two voices called the two witnesses, and you will recognize them. And they are going to Revelation 11. They will have the anointing of Elijah. They tell you of the two fathers. Now let's talk a little bit more about Elijah. Elijah has actually powers to perform miracles. I think he performed about 16 miracles in the Bible. He's a prophet. He performs miracles. Elijah could shut up heaven, say, don't rain, and it wouldn't rain, or rain, and it will not. Now, we have that power. Hurricanes, tornadoes have come here, and we've stood at the door and said, in the name of the power of Jesus, on the basis of the blood of Jesus, hurricanes stop, winds stop. We have seen it happen. This is a gift of the Elijah anointing, working of miracles. Also, the Elijah anointing has supernatural physical strength. It doesn't mean that you don't live in a physical body or it hurts or gets sick. But Elijah outran Jezebel's horses and army and chariot trying to kill him. He ran for miles and miles and outran the horses and the chariots, supernatural strength. A person with the Elijah anointing can have blind eyes, but when the anointing comes on, the blind eyes can see the word of God and share it with other people. Hallelujah. An anointing Elijah can be crippled and get up and walk around the supermarket and get their groceries and nobody knows they hurt. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. And the Elijah anointing calls down fire from heaven. The two witnesses will do that. The two witnesses will have such an anointing, the fire of God will come out on the word and dissipate all of the lies. That's what that means. Elijah the prophet had some competition, 400 Baal prophets, and they said, our God's better than your God. Elijah said, let's have a contest. Build an altar, put some wood on it, and each of us will call on our God. And the God that comes down like a consuming fire, remember Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire, that will one is one we'll call God. So Elijah was gentleman. He said, you go first. So these poor old prophets, they jumped and they yelled, woo-hoo-hoo, they did a rain dance. They cut themselves. Nothing happened. It went on and on. Elijah taunted them and he said, maybe your God's gone on a trip. Or maybe he's taking a bathroom break. And so they had no success. Finally, it was Elijah's time. Remember, the anointing of Elijah, fire, 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 anointing of Holy Spirit. So Elijah puts some wood on the altar, dry wood. But Elijah does something else. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. When it's too hard for us, it's just right for God. Elijah dug a trench around the altar, poured water in it, and then poured water all over the wood. Well, you know what happened. Elijah prayed, and the consuming fire of our God came down, lapped up all of the water, and took the altar. Hallelujah, our God won. The two witnesses will have such an anointing of the fire of God, the word, that the truth goes out and dissipates all of the lies. So John the Baptist came in the anointing of Elijah. The Elijah, two witnesses have that Elijah anointing.
And he said, I am not.
I'm not Elijah.
Art thou that prophet?
They didn't believe at that time. Are you that prophet? We ask you. No.
And he answered, no. Verse 22. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?
What say you? We've got to go back and tell them something.
23. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord.
John the Baptist had found himself in the scriptures. You are in the scriptures. When you find your mandate and your mission, your life will take on a whole new meaning. Remember, he was born a miracle child. It was too late for Elizabeth, his mother, to have a baby. His dad was a Levite priesthood, and they understood him in the Bible. He was quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and then 3 on down, which says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. I'm reminded when I studied voice in college, we studied the Messiah, those beautiful music set to that. Then it says, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. John recognized who he was. Have you found yourself in the Bible?
As saith the prophet Isaiah.
Isaiah is Isaiah.
24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees.
All right. From the phony church leaders, there were two denominations. We'll call it that because we know about denominations. Excuse me. One was called the Pharisees. Their name means separated. They did at least study the Torah, which is what we call the Bible. But they believed in life after death. The other denomination were the Sadducees. Sad, you see, because they don't believe in life after death. And so these were the Pharisees. These Pharisees should have known who John was, because Isaiah prophesied it, Isaiah 40. They should have known Deuteronomy 18, verses 14 through 18, when God spoke through Moses and said, I am raising up a prophet like unto you, Moses, who will deliver our people from their sins, and he will be the Messiah. But see, they read the word. It was in their head, but it had never dropped down into their hearts.
25, and they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ?
All right, if you're not the Messiah, what are you doing out here?
Nor Elias, neither that prophet.
Not Elijah.
Verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you.
The Messiah is already here on planet Earth, says John the Baptist.
One whom you know not. Verse 27, he it is who coming after me is before me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose.
Because you see, he's the potter and I am the clay. Jesus is your potter and you're the clay. Let him mold you and make you into a beautiful vase, fit for his trophy room.
28, these things were done in Beth Abara.
Beth is house. Abara means ford, F-O-R-D, a shallow water so you can walk in it, where he was baptizing by Jordan.
Beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. 29, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him.
Now, Olivia, we need a drum roll. Here comes Jesus walking. There you go. Shake it down. Okay, drum roll. There you go. Jesus is coming to be baptized. My goodness. Thank you.
He says, Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world.
My Isaac sense of humor came on me then, because can you imagine John's baptizing someone? Here comes the Son of God. He probably drops a person in the water. And see, an elect will turn on a dime. If you don't turn on a dime, you are not letting the Holy Spirit lead you. The Holy Spirit will cause you to turn on a dime. Whoa! World, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. He announces Jesus. Now you are to announce Jesus to this world. Hello, world. Hello, America. Hello, everybody. Let me introduce you. The Word was made flesh, and he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, all of you this week, go and tell somebody that same truth.
Verse 30, this is he of whom it is said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 31, and I knew him not.
Now, when he says, I knew him not, we don't have much information about John the Baptist's childhood. We only see Jesus up until he's 12 years old, when he's amazing the doctors of law in the temple. But history tells us that Jesus, and we have proof of this in history, went with his rich uncle Joseph of Arimathea. Remember the one that later would claim his body? Okay, that was Mary's rich uncle. He was rich in 10 mines. History tells us, I have those books, that they went to sail to Glastonbury, England. And today, the children sing songs in Glastonbury, England. And their monuments say, the lad who is the Messiah with his rich uncle Joseph of Arimathea. So then, of course, they grow up. So John the Baptist, when he sees him, he might not really realize who he is, but he wasn't quite sure that his cousin Jesus was a Messiah. He wasn't doubting, but you change a lot from 12 years old to about 30, don't you?
He should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Verse 32, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove.
All right. Matthew gives us a little clearer picture. Jesus goes to John to be baptized. John says, Oh, Master, you need to baptize me. Jesus says, We need to fulfill all things. He was baptized to show you that we're to be baptized. You go under the water fully immersed to mean the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, we know in the Gospel of Matthew that when Jesus came up out of the water, that a dove descended and sat upon Jesus. A dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And a voice spoke from heaven, the Father. Here we got the Trinity. Jesus the Savior, now in the flesh. The dove, the Holy Spirit. He's being anointed with the Holy Spirit. God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, if you will notice, we don't know what Jesus did much about God. We know he loved him, but he was about 30 then. That was when his public ministry began, because until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you don't know how to pray, you don't know how to sing, you don't know how to teach, you don't know how to live, you don't know how to give, you don't know how to love. You see, the Holy Spirit is what gives you power. Jesus says, "I have a baptism to baptize you with fire." And it was then that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And when Satan tempted him, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to overcome. See, precious Christians, you can be saved, and the Holy Spirit does, in a sense, come to live in you, because that's the substance of Jesus. But there is a fulfilling, and it's only then you can pray every word I ever say, every scripture, get it all across your T's, say everything about Susie, their car, their dog. But until the Holy Spirit takes it, it was pretty words, and everybody says, "What a great prayer." But it's only when the fire comes out. Prayer's not pretty, it's fire. You can't lay hands on the sick and recover unless it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power. "By thy Spirit, saith the Lord, and demons flee, and dead people raise." And you are listening now because the power of God is doing this. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, hallelujah.
"And it abode upon him."
The Spirit stayed upon him.
Verse 33, "And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizeth with the Holy Spirit."
See, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, Paul found a group of Christians who had accepted Jesus. He says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized?" They said, "No, we didn't even know that." So you see, to get that, you must completely yield. You must completely lose all control of yourself, completely die to yourself, and let him come in. And he will fill you. Jesus says, "How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You see, we pray for people. Scott, you and I lay hands on the sick. We cast out demons. But Scott and I both know that we don't do it in our flesh. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. The Holy Spirit anoints. And if you could just ever not organize your prayer, if it could ever just cut loose and let the Holy Spirit pray it, oh my Lord, no wonder Christians' prayers aren't answered. They're so pretty, but they're so dead. Fire. Jesus says, "I have a baptism with which to baptize you." Fire. And see, that's the anointing of Elijah, the two witnesses. Fire's going to come out. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
34, "And I saw in their record that this was the Son of God."
So he says, this is the Son of God. It was written of Jesus, excuse me, in Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, the recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, the Lord, might be glorified." Jesus, the Anointed One. Oh, America, oh, world, let me introduce you. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. God bless you. I hope you are blessed. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that not one word return void. Penetrate and pierce and save and heal and awaken your people, Father God, and turn the hearts of the children back to the true Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We'll begin right there next time, but right now it's time for a mystery moment. Questions and answers to reveal the mystery of God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, says Joel, so we blow the trumpet of truth. I want to welcome my good friend and twin, Scott Merson of Scripture Picture Frame. He's the one that's going to do the video. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing good today, Sherry. How are
very,
you doing?
Just great.
You
thank
look
you.
Very nice today.
Thank you. It's the beauty of the Lord.
Yes, it is all over you.
Yes, it is fiery. That's right. And what's your first question?
We have our first question is from somebody who wants to know, does God ever send a message to us through one who was here but now has gone home to our Father's house?
Yes, it's very biblical. In the revelation by John, an angel was giving him a message, and John didn't know what to do, so he fell down to worship him. And the angel said, don't worship me. I'm one of your brother. In other words, I lived here and walked in the flesh, but God has called me back home. So yes, God does that.
They also wanted to know, has God ever sent you one?
Absolutely. God takes me up to the edge of heaven. And a prayer partner, I had a wonderful African-American friend, one of my good friends, Sam Hill, is going to heaven now. And a trumpet blew, and a voice said, here comes Sam Hill. That was his name, it really was. And Sam looked at me, and I looked at him. I'm sitting up there in the sky. It's amazing, your spiritual body, you don't fall or anything. And we smiled at each other, and he looked at me, and he said, the end is very near. And then he became a great angel, fiery angel. He turned his hand and pointed toward me and said to me, and God is sending you. Now that's one. I'll tell you some more later.
Yeah, that's
I've
awesome.
Had plenty of them. Sometimes he takes me out of the body up to heaven's edge. And my dad has come, and Pastor Arnold Murray, who we both know,
yeah.
Scott, gave a message, came out of a television program. And he's in heaven now,
yeah.
And gave a message for you and for me, which we'll keep quiet right now.
Oh, that's awesome. Another caller wants to know, does Great Britain withdrawing from the EU have anything to do with these end times?
Yes, it does. The book of Daniel prophesies in other prophetic books that at these end times, the world will prepare what is called a one world order. Perhaps you've heard of that. It's in the making now. And it's preparing for a one world order, one world government, so that Antichrist can come and be the God of the whole earth. Now, Great Britain and the United States of America are the biological seed of Abraham. We are Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, our brother Judah is over the land of Israel. Those are two tribes. But we're the 10 tribes of Israel. So it is right and fitting that Great Britain withdrew so that we don't have to be and worship the Antichrist. Donald Trump is so correct. America needs to get out of that too. Revelation 12 does talk about that wilderness. There is America where the elect are going to be kind of protected there. So yes, they did the right thing.
And we see many of the leaders that are involved in the one world government formation right now
yes.
that are just panicking. All they can do is talk about it. Now.
That's right. They don't understand it, do they? We could
no.
tell them in a minute, couldn't
I know,
we, Scott? Right?
Okay, we have another question. It comes from somebody who had heard our day of repentance and also heard us prayer, a prayer that we lifted up about that. And they wanted to know that that the prayer that we lifted up about the cross being seen in the sky, did God answer the prayer?
He did, and I'm going to let you tell us about
all right,
that, please,
well, thank
God.
You. I have to tell you, about 2 weeks after we did the Day of Repentance, a young man who works for me, Caleb, who didn't even know that we were doing the Day of Repentance or that we were praying for a cross to be seen in the sky above the states, came in to me, and he said, at work, he said, Scott, did you see the crosses in the sky above Florida? And I said, no. And what are you talking about? And he said, oh, you have to Google it. It showed up above Oldsmar over in Pinellas County. And he said it was a beautiful white cross in the sky.
Mm.
You can see pictures of it. Several people took pictures of it, and they posted it, and it even made the news. And we prayed specifically that
yes.
a beautiful white cross
mm.
be seen above this state,
yes,
and that it would be reported on the news.
Yes.
And so he saw that, and I Googled it, and it was amazing. And it was just like we prayed for.
And you've given me some pictures of it. Those of you out there coming to my school, you can see them on the prayer wall.
I looked it up, and when I looked it up, I noticed the date that they appeared. And so then I also searched back to when the day of repentance that we had, and it was exactly 12 days.
Yes.
Exactly 12 days. We had released this prayer.
Yes.
And then the Lord showed me, brought me right. He said, look at the biblical number of 12. And when I looked it up, it is a considered God's perfect number. And it symbolizes God's power and authority, as well as serving as a perfect governmental foundation.
Governmental number,
yes. Yeah, it's a foundational number of 12 with the Lord. And, you know, with the apostles and, and with just everything that
12.
He brings forth, the tribes, all that is 12. And he showed me that in this sign of the cross that he lifted up, that his government, he showed us that my government is above all governments on earth. And my authority and power is above all governments on earth.
Absolutely.
And so we made a dent.
We did make a dent. God did answer. His timing is always right. I'm very proud of you, Scott. Proverbs 25 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to search out a thing. Yes, God answered that. I knew he did. See, people, I see that. I have a cross above my window all the time. You might not see that. That's why you need to come to Scott's presentation. I think we might be able to work one more in, Scott.
Okay. Clyde Bartner from Cocoa, Florida. He wants to know if you could please explain the Song of Solomon.
I will do it very quickly. Clyde Bartner has a home repair business. His number is 321-821-8685. Clyde Bartner, Cocoa, Florida, home repair, 321-821-8685. Whew, got that memorized. Okay, Song of Solomon is not X-rated. It is the gospel in a nutshell. I love to teach that. It's beautiful. It's a play. The beautiful Shulamite girl represents God's very elect, very working hard in the vineyard with the real truth, men and women, very few. The wonderful shepherd boy is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Shulamite girl and the wonderful shepherd boy are madly in love, though they are physically separated. The elect are in love with Jesus. King Solomon represents the soon coming Antichrist, very powerful, very rich. He has the whole world, but he wants the Shulamite girl because he can't stand that some of us don't believe he is Jesus, because he's not. And the daughters of Jerusalem already moved into his palace, already wearing the mark of the beast, are the deceived part of the body of Christ, who will marry the first bridegroom, who will be the Antichrist. Now that's it in a nutshell. I love Song of Solomon. It's got a sense of humor. The wonderful shepherd boy said to the Shulamite girl, I'm going down to my garden and I'm going to check on the nuts. Okay, well, speaking of nuts, we're all nuts if we're not saved. So I want you to be saved, okay? Please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive my sins and save me.
Forgive my sins and save me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
To show your glory.
Show your glory.
I love you.
I love you.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Now, if you prayed that in a minute, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes. Call and leave that message. Say your name clearly, and I'll put you on my daily intercessory prayer list. Now, for those of you who are sick, Oh, Father God, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask by the Holy Spirit, the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Wherever there are sinus headaches, be gone. Sinus drainage, get in order. Backbone, spine, central nervous system, nerve pain, be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Fear, be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Fibromyalgia, cancer, be gone in Jesus' name. Deaf ears hear, blind eyes see, lame legs walk. Sad hearts be glad. Be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name and the power of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you glory. Now, if you were healed, you want to call and tell me that too. Now, the love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. I have many books in my library, thousands of books. I'm a bookworm. And one of them is called The Prophet, and he says, give of your best for your friend. Give of your best for your friend. Now, don't forget Scott Mercer's amazing video, August 3rd, 6:30 p.m., right here at my school. It will bless you so much. Come to my school on Sundays 5 p.m. and Wednesdays 6:30 p.m. for word and prayer. And I remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. God bless you and thank you for listening. And wait for my announcer to give you my telephone number. And I love you. Don't forget to call me. Leave your questions and leave your answers and your prayer requests. And tell me you love me, because, dear listener, I truly love you. See you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
place where I can live. At your feet, forgiven perfectly. Cause I got nothing good to give, nothing more than just myself. I know you want for nothing else.
Unchanging, mysterious and unknown. Your boundless love, unfailing, in grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim in ceaseless flight, around your glorious throne. Praise to you.
lives forever, and he reigns in power and love. Let earth bow down before him, for he is exalted, and we look to
to WMIE, Bavard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Wait on the Lord. is beautiful and good. He's the lover of all men. He has rescued us.